all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Oshkosh here in the state of Wisconsin Sense on this Thursday, May 4th, coming to you from the new downtown studios on Main Street of Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. The studio is still a bit of a work in progress, so forgive a little echo that you might hear here, but it's just gorgeous what they're putting together. And so as part of a road trip that I'm doing this week, I thought I would stop by, see the place. It looked so good. I said, hey, let's do a show from here. So we are. And meanwhile, Aaron Zommers couldn't come along on the road trip. He is back in Madison. But Aaron, I hope you're hearing things from the Fox Valley all right. How are you?
Yeah, doing pretty well. And like you said, just a little echoey, but it's manageable.
I was going to say, there are definitely worse problems to have. So we'll take that. But yeah, it's super out here, especially this time of year. You know, when I stepped out of the hotel, the sun wasn't quite up yet. But, you know, the robins are just robins. Even some cardinals were just going crazy here. So apparently they like it here in Oshkosh.
Yeah, so at least we've got one set of opinions.
Yes, we do have that. We're in a part of downtown that is definitely being, shall we say, renovated. I'm not going to say gentrified or anything. It's great when you see some of these old buildings being worked on. In fact, a former colleague of mine at TV13, she was a reporter there for a long time, Brenda Haynes, now has Blue Door Consulting here in Oshkosh, has for a number of years. And when I told her I was stopping by, she said, stop by the office. The office is a half a block away from here. And also in an old granary, you can see where the chute in the ceiling and, you know, the big massive platform for the scale where they would weigh the grain apparently was a very trendy restaurant for a time when it was first remodeled. Now it's office space. And it's got, you know, the brick interior. I, honest to God, wondered if Chandler and Rachel and Joey were going to come in and have some coffee. It looked like something out of a sitcom.
Yeah, it's really cool when they repurpose buildings like that. There's a coffee shop in Manitowoc. I can't remember what it used to be. It wasn't a granary, but something similar where it just has all this really old wooden flooring and brick walls and everything. And it just looks cool.
Yeah, and let me tell you what was really nice to see when I first got to the door. And on the front door is a big old sticker, like the sign behind me for Oshkosh Air Support, but also a little sticker that says Main Street Bounce Back Grant. This is one of those places. This storefront sat vacant for the longest time. And now I have to be honest, I actually don't know if the radio station purchased the full building or if we're just renting or leasing space here at the street level. But the fact is, you know, again, this sat here for years, just another abandoned storefront. But these Main Street Bounce Back Grants, I'm telling you, they've benefited almost 10,000 businesses and allowed, you know, our downtowns to start to flourish again. And so it's really great to see that. Oh, did I mention the Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee cut that out of the state budget the other day? Okay, well, you know, I guess... You do for economic development, Republicans. I guess we're going back to the Foxconn method of things, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I thought that small businesses were something that they liked, but I guess maybe not.
You would think so. So anyway, this is May 4th. And so, you know, May 4th is known as Star Wars Day, as in, you know, may the 4th be with you. So we've got that going for us. You'll hear some Star Wars music in and out. We'll talk about that a bit today. But we also have Hometown Health. It is a Thursday, so Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be with us. And actually, we're doing financial health. And your household maybe needs a financial checkup. You see what I did there? Checkup, Hometown Health. And nobody? Okay. We will talk to a financial planner, Kristen Alfheim, about not only the household health of your home, the financial health of your home, I meant to say, but also improving financial literacy classes in schools. We've heard Republicans say quite often, we need more financial literacy in classrooms. Governor Tony Evers included money for that in his budget. Oh, did I mention Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee cut that money out too? for the extra financial literacy. Oh, well, we will talk to Joe Zepecki coming up in a few minutes here and talk about the continued showdown on the debt ceiling. Who are Republicans turning to for leadership when these times demand calm responsibility? They're turning to Ron Johnson, a man who has never been on the right side of keeping America out of default. So we'll talk a bit about that with Joe Zepecki. Luke Mathers will join us for the obligatory Luke, I am your father jokes on this May the 4th. And you know, we'll get a weather forecast and some sports as well. It's a nice 41 degrees here in Oshkosh, 49 back up on Lake Wasota, 51 in Amory, 45 in Wausau, 39 in Waukesha, 47 in Wisconsin Rapids, and 41 in Madison. It's going to be a nice day. Do you have Mr. Alba still on at 8 o'clock, right? We didn't accidentally kick him off the air or anything?
No, that's correct.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. Sometimes we get on a bit of a roll on Wednesday, and I get concerned that I'm going to get him in trouble. But so far, so good, right?
So far, so good. We're all good.
Okay, good. Todd Alba, you can catch at 8 o'clock on some of these civic media radio stations. On others, like this one here, Oshkosh Air Support, you have Earl Ingram coming up at 8 o'clock. All right, when we come back, we will talk a bit more about what's been in the news, and we will certainly talk about Star Wars, and we will talk about the Brewers playing a game last night in Colorado, game two of their 3-game series. They will be playing again this afternoon before they move on to San Francisco. So all that and more ahead from Oshkosh on a Thursday on Up North News Radio. Just might be the most orchestral intro I think I've ever received. Welcome back. This is Up North News Radio. On a Thursday, May the 4th, as in May the 4th be with you. And so we'll talk a little Star Wars coming up in just a bit here. First off, while all of us early birds were asleep, the Milwaukee Brewers were out in Denver, losing once again to the Colorado Rockies 7-1. And it wasn't even that close. The one run was kind of a sack fly, you know, running garbage time in the top of the ninth inning. Eric Lauer is now 3-3 for the Brewers. He went 4 2/3 innings. He allowed 4 hits and 4 runs, but none of them were earned. Third baseman Mike Rosso made a throwing error in Colorado's 4-run fourth inning. They will play again this afternoon. And I might have mentioned once or twice, but now that I'm here at the home of Brewers baseball radio here in Fox Valley, let me say again, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM is the place where you can hear the Brewers, as well as on one of our other civic media stations, WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. That's 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. So again, that will be the Brewers game this afternoon. And then it is off to San Francisco for a 3-game series against the Giants. Aaron, I'm dealing with a new studio here. Not only do you have the sound things, the lighting that we're dealing with, and it's great to have a street side view. We're looking at Main Street. I can see the bridge going over the Fox River here as it winds its way out of Lake Winnebago. But I think one of the things they didn't count on is as the sunrise moves its way, you know, farther and farther north with each day, we're about at the point now where that sun is just about to come in here and blind me like a lightsaber.
Oh yeah, I can see that. I see your face starting to light up.
Oh, there it is now. So I'm like, wow, those are really big curtains in the window. Now I see why. We may have to take care of that. But anyway, we've made it to May the 4th. So before we get to any of the serious news, we should try to talk about Star Wars and try to talk about what we know about it. Try is really all I can do, really, when it comes to recounting.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Well, I'm sorry, Yoda, but I got to do the best I can here. Which one did you see the other day?
Return of the Jedi, so episode 6.
Okay, episode 6. Now, look, I've seen all 9 of the movies. I've seen like the first episode of The Mandalorian. Rogue One. Rogue One was actually my favorite of all of them. That was one of the first like spin-off movies, right?
Yeah. And yeah, it was very good.
It essentially takes place immediately before Chapter 4, which of course was the very first Star Wars movie. And for the life of me, I can't remember who played the main character there, but boy, it was, the whole cast was great. But it gets you to wondering, okay, once I noticed that was kind of a prequel to Chapter 4, what order would you watch these movies in? And while there may not be a definitive list, many people have tried. And now, of course, it gets more complicated because you're folding in some of these other movies and TV shows that come in as a result of them. And I think when I go through this list, it'll be curious to see, people are going to be like me and say, I did not even know that show was a thing yet. But where are you? Are you one of those do you feel like you've seen everything in the franchise?
Not everything. There are a couple of the kids shows I haven't seen. Like, I think there's one called Star Wars Resistance or something. I have not seen that. I have to finish Andor, but I'm caught up on like The Mandalorian. I've watched all of The Clone Wars. I watched all of the older show, not just The Clone Wars, but Clone Wars. There's a bunch. I've seen most of it.
Okay. Well, here we go. And now the very top of this list causes controversy because in this particular list, which I found on Mare Station is the name of the website. But again, many lists, many ways to do it. This one starts in a controversial way for some because it begins with Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace, which would have been what, the fourth movie that was released? Yep, from 1999. And then Star Wars Episode Two, Attack of the Clones, 2002. And there are some that say they are so angry about the whole Jar Jar Binks, you know, storyline and everything that their list doesn't start with one and two. I understand that, you know, the whole Jar Jar thing didn't sit well with everybody, but I definitely don't get as worked up as some people do.
Yeah, I think if there's any movie, like the worst ones are definitely not the prequels. And maybe I'm just biased because I grew up watching those, but I think the sequels have more issues.
You think the sequels have more issues?
Yeah, 7, 8, and 9.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to get into that then. All right. So you would start by watching episodes 1 and 2. And then from there, you should come out of Attack of the Clones and watch Star Wars The Clone Wars, which was a series that ran from 2008 to 2014. And you said you were a fan of that.
Yeah, that's another one where the beginning of the show, the first season, you should look up a guide on which episodes to skip because there are some real stinkers in there that are just a waste of time. But after the first season, the show is really good.
Okay. And then you can watch Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, the movie from 2005. Then you should watch Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now, where was that? Was that a standalone movie? Was that in theaters or streaming someplace on Disney? Or
that's on Disney Plus. It's a show that came out last year sometime.
Okay. You can see how well it stuck with me. Followed by that, this one's Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 2021. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, it's a spinoff of the Clone Wars TV show about a specific group of clones who resist Order 66. They don't kill the Jedi, basically.
Oh, gotcha. That should then be followed by Solo, a Star Wars story from 2018. Again, one I'm a little embarrassed to say I didn't watch because, again, I like the franchise, but just never got to see Solo. And I know it got kind of mixed reviews. And where's the Aaron position on that one?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. Followed up by Star Wars Rebels, which clearly was another series, 2014 to 2018, and Star Wars Andor from 2022. I'm assuming these are Disney Plus things again?
Yeah. Rebels is a kids show again, except it does actually get pretty good later on. And then Andor is a new one that a lot of people are saying might be the best Star Wars anything.
Oh, okay.
It's a pretty good show. And it's not too long either, so.
And then you follow that up with Rogue One, which again was from 2016, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, which I really enjoyed. Then you get to the original Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, the movie from 1977, followed that up with 5, The Empire Strikes Back from 1980, and then 6, Return of the Jedi from 1983. And then there's a break before you get into movies 7, 8, and 9. There's The Mandalorian from 2019, season 2, then The Book of Boba Fett from 2021, and I have now lost everybody who just wants to hear the latest in state political news. And then Star Wars, finally, 7, 8, and 9. The Force Awakens from 2015, The Last Jedi from 2017, and 9, The Rise of Skywalker from 2019. And here's where special Star Wars correspondent Aaron Zommers will tell us his issues with movies 7, 8, and 9.
Well, it's rough. It very much feels like those movies were made by committee in that the directors might have wanted to try something different, and then Disney was like, no, this needs to sell a lot of tickets. 7 is a good reunion episode. You know, it gets everyone together. It doesn't really do a lot. It retreads the territory of A New Hope with almost the exact same story. And you know what? That's fine. Hadn't had a Star Wars movie in a long time. It gets everyone back together. And then The Last Jedi, the director, Rian Johnson, you can tell he was trying to do some interesting things with it, but then the whole movie is a series of, gotcha, just kidding, I'm not doing that. so it's just weird. It also has a lot of physics things that don't make sense, like arcing lasers. And it's disorienting.
So I love you, man. I would never have come up with that. Not in a million years. When I was about your age, the new thing was Star Trek: The Next Generation, and we'd have some of those same, you know, conversations like, well, if Geordi wasn't wearing his special goggles, you know, would he really be able to see? It's like, shut up and watch the show. You know?
Right.
Just like everything I said yesterday about the writing. But, you know, if something bugs you about the physical makeup of it, then, yeah, you can't. The writing isn't going to overcome that necessarily.
Right. And if it was just one thing, like, oh, some of these lasers follow an arc, even though in Star Wars that hasn't happened before. Okay, that's one thing. But it was a lot of stuff. Like, they had a bunch of bombers flying over a ship, and they were all flying right next to each other. And it feels like the armor plating was paper thin. So you shoot one and they all blow up. And it was like, why would you do that? Why would you fly them next to each other if they're that fragile?
I love this. So there's the thing on watching Star Wars. And you know what that perfectly makes even more, what makes it things even funnier now is I saw Mark Hamill in a commercial. Now I forget what it was for, if it was for one of the shows or one of the products, but he walks onto this set where the actor is using 2 lightsabers. And he says to him, Jedi's don't have 2 lightsabers. And the guy says to him something like, oh no, this is 1 lightsaber that you can split in 2. And then Mark Hamill kind of grumbles as he's walking off the set going, they never gave me 2 lightsabers. Mark Hamill has played this so well.
He really
Some
has.
Some people, once they get typecast, they get bitter and everything else. He's just taking it and running with it, and good for him.
Especially because, to my knowledge, I could be wrong on this, but I remember reading that he wanted to be a voice actor, and then the role of Luke just kind of fell into his lap, and he was like, sure, whatever, I can't get a good voice acting gig, so I'll do this. And now he does voice acting for basically whatever he wants to.
Well, that's great. And near as I can recall, I don't know what else he's done beyond Star Wars compared to, say, Harrison Ford, who was Indiana Jones, and he's played in all these other dramatic movies. I mean, Harrison Ford is just this, you know, well-rounded star, and Mark Hamill could have been like, you know, again, very resentful, but, you know, you finally take it, and you say, you know what, the checks, they still cash when I take them to the bank, so I guess this is okay.
They sure do.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. You saw the one, was there anything else special that people are doing today for May the 4th, or is it just an excuse for, you know, talking heads on the radio to gab about movies for a while?
I think it's probably the latter, or an excuse for people to watch Star Wars if they've been thinking, you know what, it's been a while since I watched A New Hope, let's see where it all began, kind of thing.
There you go. And now they're going to watch the physical aspects of it even more carefully, thanks to your sharp analysis here. All right, let's set things up for after the break. We spoke late yesterday with our friend Joseph Pecky, as we do every week, to bring him to you on Thursday mornings at 6:30 to talk about what's happened this week. And part of what's happened this week is Republicans making the determination in Congress that Ron Johnson should speak for them when it comes to the debt ceiling. Somebody who would not at all be unhappy if the United States defaulted on its debts and put millions of people out of work and crashed the economy, because apparently that's some kind of learning experience. I don't know. We'll hear from Joseph Pecky coming up right after the break. This is Up North News Radio. It's Thursday morning here on Up North News Radio, and that means Joseph Pecky stops by as we take a look at what's been happening in state government and in our state political figures and what they're doing, what they're not doing, what they're saying, and the way that they exasperate us. So, Joe, how are you?
I'm all right. It's been a challenging week.
It has. And we're gonna start with Ron Johnson, but not for the thing you would think. His comment about, you know, global warming deaths could be a good thing because there wouldn't be many of them in Wisconsin. It is literally not worth responding to, only worth bringing up again for those folks that can't believe that he actually said that. Where we're actually going to start with Ron Johnson is about the debt ceiling debate in Congress. And that there is, I got to admit, Joe, a little bit more unity behind Kevin McCarthy and that terrible, no good, very bad bill that they passed last week. And Ron Johnson's out there leading the charge saying we need to have a united front. I guess I'm a little surprised, especially that they want to be united behind this turkey. But what are your thoughts on all this?
My thoughts are pretty simple, which is that Ron Johnson is not a serious person on this issue, and he should go sit in the corner and be quiet. And the fact that Republicans are letting him take this position says an awful lot more about the Republican conference and the Republican Party in 2023 than it does about Ron Johnson. Because here's the history, folks. Ron Johnson has been in Washington for 12 years, right? Went in 2011. The debt ceiling has come up before. The U.S. has been at risk of defaulting before, multiple times, in fact, since Ron Johnson got there. And you know how many times he has voted to make sure that we didn't default on our debt? You know how many times he voted to protect the global economy from being devastated?
How many?
Zero times. He has never voted to raise the debt limit. And presumably, he never will. He didn't do it when Barack Obama was president. He didn't do it when Donald Trump was president. This is a thing that you have to do to protect the full faith and credit of the United States of America and protect the global economy. And he has failed the test of responsible stewardship and doing the right thing multiple times. And he is who Republicans want out there front and center at this point. Does he know what a global economic meltdown looks like? Does he understand what that would do to his cherished business, that if you just ask him, he'll tell you how hard he worked to make the millions and millions of dollars that he has? This guy cannot put himself in the shoes of another person. That is why the ridiculous comments you prefaced on global climate change, of course he thinks it's a good thing. He can't possibly put himself in the shoes of another. He apparently is incapable of putting himself in the shoes of people whose livelihoods depend on the stability or what is left of it in the global economy. And he has multiple times in his 12 years in Congress said, here's my choice. If it was up to me, let us default. That is the choice that he made with those votes against raising the debt limit. So pardon my skepticism and my outrage today that Ron Johnson is anywhere near something this serious.
There are not a lot of people that you can say this of, but I'm quite confident that Senator Johnson is one of those who roots for Mr. Potter, the banker, in the It's a Wonderful Life movie.
because it's just so fitting that whatever the business wants is what you have to do. Again, this was somebody who has praised, you know, outsourcing. And so
if Ron Johnson is driving this car, we're going off the cliff and it's time to put your money into the mattress, folks. And that's not where any of us want to be. That is not responsible leadership. It is irresponsible. It is dangerous. Ron Johnson is not a serious person on this issue, and he has no business being anywhere near this debate. I hope that as quickly as possible, President Biden gets in a room with the grown-ups like Mitch McConnell, who, listen, I disagree with on darn near everything, but at least he has been responsible on this topic in the past. You cannot say that about Ron Johnson.
No. I thought you might be a little bit more worked up about our next item here, because as we know, Milwaukee, where you are, it was supposed to get the Democratic National Convention. COVID got in the way of that. The Republicans, who have never been fans of Milwaukee, as if, again, to, you know, own the libs, picked Milwaukee to have the convention next year. The RNC announced that the very first, pre-primary presidential debate would be in Milwaukee this summer. And we learned this week that former President Donald Trump will basically turn it into an asterisk by not showing up. It's like poor Milwaukee just can't win with either party here.
Well, yes, I guess the reason my dander's a little less up about this one is I don't think it actually has anything to do with Milwaukee. It has to do with Donald Trump is a coward and incapable of standing on a stage with others, you know, with other people and defending his behavior and his conduct and his actions and his beliefs. And, you know, it does not surprise me that somebody who only debated one time in the general election in 2020 and walked into the room with COVID and knew it, so didn't care about the rules. When you look at the history of this, there's no way Donald Trump is debating. He's not going to debate in Milwaukee. He's not going to debate on a boat or in a moat. We can do a whole Dr. Seuss rhyme over this. He ain't going to debate. And, you know, to me, the cost of that is people are not going to see just how disconnected from reality he has become. Because as bad as it was when he lost the 2020 election by 7 million votes and 70 electoral votes, keep in mind that since then, the things that have happened have included the insurrection and assault on the Capitol on January 6th, a second impeachment, overturning of 50 years of precedent in the Roe case, due to the judges that Donald Trump put on the court. And now he has been indicted for crimes. He is on trial for rape. Those are five pretty big deal things that have happened. And he doesn't want to defend any of them. So he's going to try to hide. And Republicans are doing their very best to shepherd him right to the nomination. They're not taking him on. So you know what? They bought the ticket. They still want to ride. That's up to them. But to me, it's not about Milwaukee. And so I take a little bit of comfort in that.
I think as well, let's give some credit to President Biden, who I think essentially, you know, scared him off the debate stage any further because somebody finally turned to him in that one debate and said so wonderfully, "Will you just shut up, man?" Or, you know, however he put it. Oh, my goodness.
And Trump cannot be challenged. He cannot be wrong. Think back to the Sharpie on the map of the hurricane. And so, my probably unpopular divergent take from a lot of people this week is I'm actually kind of glad that CNN is going to give him a platform next week in a presidential town hall debate, because I think it's really important that the American people see how disconnected from reality he is, how much it is all about him and not about them. And the more people see Donald Trump, which we really haven't in a while, the more good that's going to do for the political fortunes of the Biden-Harris ticket.
All right, let's turn toward a more state perspective and the state budget that is being crafted, shall we say, by Republicans on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. And we have said repeatedly how wrong it was for the Republicans on that committee to have their first order of business being to remove more than 500 proposals from Governor Evers without so much of a, you know, debate on the merits of them. It was cowardly to use your word, and I think rightly so. But I bring it up again just to say it for the purposes of our conversation here, again, with over 500 items there, when you look at that, what one or two do you think need to be mentioned yet again, because people need to know the kind of impact one or two of those ideas could have had, and now we won't have that positive impact?
Well, the first is Medicaid expansion. And the reason for that is North Carolina Republicans, which are pretty conservative Republicans. Remember, it was North Carolina Republicans who laid out the playbook that Wisconsin Republicans followed after Tony Evers won in 2018. And that was to use a lame duck session of the legislature to strip the governor of powers. They did that move first in North Carolina. Wisconsin Republicans said, hey, that's a pretty good idea. We're about to have a Democratic governor. We're going to do that too. So they have followed the lead of North Carolina Republicans before. North Carolina Republicans finally saw the writing on the wall and said, the Medicaid expansion available under Obamacare makes sense. We can find a way to get to yes on this, and it can save the state money. Well, here in Wisconsin, for more than 10 years, Republicans have said no, no, no. They still have an opportunity to say yes. And if they did, they would save hundreds of millions of dollars, right? It would create even more space in the budget to invest in things that they care about, like tax cuts, right? Or to try and do things that are policy priorities for them, like increase the size of the vouchers for private schools. But they refuse to come to the table. They refuse to have a conversation about it. That's item number A1 for me. And then I think number two is medicinal marijuana. We are an island surrounded by states that have legalized the use of cannabis, some all the way, some for medicinal purposes. Here in Wisconsin, Republicans refuse to figure it out. I do not buy what Speaker Voss is selling, that they're having conversations and it might happen. They just showed where their cards are. They said, no, we're taking it out. And they think the funny line today, I heard this on the radio earlier, is, you know, that somehow that means Democrats' policy solution is people should smoke more weed. That's not at all what we're talking about. We're talking about missing opportunities and competitiveness as a state and alleviating the suffering of people who are quite ill when it comes to the use of medical marijuana. And so those two right there are just sort of a stick in the eye of the 70% plus of Wisconsinites who support those very common sense, reasonable public policy proposals. And Republicans just aren't interested. And that's, you know, that's their choice. But I do think that it's the job of the public to say, okay, we see your choice, and maybe we'll be making some different choices in the future at the polls because of that.
I watched as Representative Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, made that wisecrack. And I thought, you know, the sheer arrogance of that, and to follow it up by saying that they don't believe the polling that says that these are bipartisan issues.
Well, because it's a science, Pat. Polling is a science, and they don't believe in science.
Right, and we're against science, yeah. But it shows the kind of bubble you can live in when you're gerrymandered, that I think if public opinion polls were taken in their districts, they would be very surprised at the results of them, but they don't have to care, so they don't.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, I've left us enough time to get into, again, there's a heavy competition for, you know, the dumbest bill of the session or the dumbest bill of the week. And I think rightly so. The authors have been properly pilloried on a bill that would allow children as young as 14 to serve alcohol to adults. Now, not at the bar, but at tables in restaurants, because, Joe, as we all know, there are no drunk and abusive customers who are sitting at restaurant tables, right? So there's nothing wrong with this idea.
Never in my life. Yeah, I've seen a lot of strategies for workforce development and trying to, you know, help Main Street small businesses. They keep coming up with stuff where you just got to kind of scratch your head and go, where the hell are they coming up with this? Who is this for that they think this is the right idea? You know, anybody who's been to a small, you know, tavern or diner where they, you know, they serve food and there's a bar knows that it doesn't take an extraordinary amount of effort for that bar manager or for the manager of the restaurant to handle that run from the kitchen to the table to refill a cocktail or have another beer, and then let an adult, a responsible adult, make the determination as to whether that person maybe has been overserved, be treated probably with a little bit more respect from the patron. If there are business owners out there who wanted this and insisted on this, I think those business owners could probably stand to look in the mirror
I don't, and I just don't think that there are. I really think they're just flailing. They're looking for anything because, God forbid, they stop being allergic to immigration, which is what we're going to need with the demographics of this country. But when you can use it as a wedge, you'll look for anything else. Try to get people out of retirement at one end of the spectrum and loosen up child labor at the other end. It's very telling. Joe Zepecki, thanks as always. Hope we were able to unburden you a bit as we kick off the weekend.
I feel a little better. Anytime I can yell about Senator Johnson, it's a good day.
We're here for you. Good therapy. Thanks, Joe.
Talk to you next week.
And we will be back with today's history lesson and a little music break coming up in just a bit. You're up north. Take a little break from Star Wars music that started in the mid-1970s to bring you some other movie music from the mid-70s, which actually was from the 30s. This would be Marvin Hamlisch's adaptation of some classic ragtime tunes, because the soundtrack to The Sting held the top spot on the album chart for the first of 5 weeks on this day in 1974 from The Sting. And so while a little ragtime plays in the background, we welcome in our friend Kristen Lyerly. Dr. Lyerly, how are you?
Good morning, Pat, and everyone. I'm well. How are you?
Great. It's great to be here in Oshkosh. It is fun to be kind of breaking in a new radio station. I am pretty sure that we are the first show to broadcast live from here, because the studio isn't actually hooked up yet. We're doing this through, you know, a laptop and a phone and some Wi-Fi, but it seems to be working. And like I said, the sun's out, so real spring might actually finally be here, maybe.
Oh, thank God. I'm so ready. Aren't you? I feel like once again, we jumped from winter right into summer.
Yes, it definitely has that feel to it. But hey, you got your bike, so you're going to go out and have a little ride today, hopefully.
Yes, I am.
All right.
It's gonna be beautiful.
Let's continue with our little history lesson. The construction of the Panama Canal began on this day in 1904. The very first Grammy Awards ceremony was held in Los Angeles this day in 1959, which was also the day when a country singer named Randy Travis was born. On a very serious note, from this day in 1970, four people were shot dead during an anti-war protest at Kent State University by National Guardsmen, and it led to the Crosby, Stills, Nash song, Four Dead in Ohio. On this day in 1973, the Sears Tower was topped out at 108 stories, or 1,451 feet. At that time, it was the world's tallest building. Either one of you ever been to the Sears Tower?
I have not.
I remember going as a kid.
You went as a kid, which is not, it's not called that anymore. I have no.
Willis Tower.
Yep.
It's the Willis Tower.
Willis Tower. For folks who know what a fan I am of Ron White, the comedian, he uses the Sears Tower as a punchline in one of his bits called Lug Nut Day. And I cannot recommend it highly enough. Ron White's one of those where, you know, one great album and he's kind of been playing off the same shtick ever since, but that one album was worth it. If nothing else, for the Sears Tower joke.
I'm not familiar with Ron White.
You've got to, well, you do all this driving now. We have to get you set up on, you know, listening to comedy. We can't just have you singing all the time.
Comedy is hard, though. I feel like with comedy, it almost has to be spontaneous. Like if somebody is trying to entertain me, it's harder to be entertained.
Okay, I hear you. The number one song on this day in 1974 was from Grand Funk.
Fine.
Amazing. Well, we could just play the rest of the song and take a break, you know, right? This is just so good.
It is. It's their cover.
That was Billy Squire, wasn't it?
Say that again, Kristen.
That's Billy Squire.
No. he might have done a version of his own later on, but I don't believe Billy Squire was a member of Grand Funk Railroad from the early 70s.
Maybe that's just like my little thing in the back of my head that I'm very wrong about, but I've been very wrong about it my entire life.
All right, well, now we know what we're looking up next, you know, the members of Grand Funk. On this day in 1979, Margaret Thatcher became the first female prime minister of the United Kingdom. And another birthday, Lance Bass from NSYNC was born this day in 1979. Do the math, Pat. 44 years old today. On this day in 1928, one of the all-time great trumpet players was born, Maynard Ferguson, who did a version of Rocky's Gonna Fly Now that really made it all about himself and how he can play trumpet.
Ooh. That's so crazy that, like, how that sound can come out of a trumpet.
The notes that he can hit are just, I don't even know how to describe them. You know, again, they could probably shatter glass, you know, but there's Maynard Ferguson, born this day in 1928. He passed away in 2006.
Wait, I met him.
Wait, you met who?
Maynard Ferguson.
Wow.
You met Maynard Ferguson?
Yeah, he came and did a halftime show with us when I was at the University of Minnesota in the marching band. And all I can remember is his lips, because they were so, like, scarred. They looked so abused. And I remember thinking, damn, that's the price you pay for being such an incredible trumpet player.
What was the name of the movie with J.K. Simmons in it about a drummer?
Whiplash.
Oh.
Whiplash. And so the kid... You know, just all these bandages on his fingers as he's trying to get better and better at drums. It's, again, the price that people pay to be that good at something. Mm-hmm. I might lose my voice once or twice. That would not be a good job. Back to 1999, Jennifer Lopez debuted at number one with If You Had My Love. Oh, she's a singer, she's a dancer, she's an actress, she's a triple threat. She doesn't age at all. I mean, obviously she does the work, and God bless her for it, but the woman does not age.
Gorgeous.
I know. All right. Well, we appreciate that. Normally this is where, when the Brewers are at home, we would be perhaps giving away tickets to a game. So when the Brewers' next homestand comes along, keep this spot in mind, because we'll do a little trivia question. We'll take your calls and then give away some great seats at American Family Field. But just a reminder as well, you can hear the Brewers right here on this radio station where I'm sitting right now. Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, as well as News from the Center and Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. So you're doing the bike ride where you are out in the hinterlands there, and Are you dodging, like, any snow piles? How do they rack up there in that part of Minnesota where you're at this week?
They got a ton of snow, so it's been flooding. And last week was when the flooding really peaked, so now it's kind of receding.
It does make me wonder about where I'm sitting here in downtown Oshkosh, because the Fox River, it's clearly high, and it clearly looks like if it wanted to come here and lap at the front door of this building, it could. And I'm glad that it didn't. But again, the remodel of this building and the others here in this downtown area, I mentioned at the top of the hour about these Main Street bounce back grants, and this building benefited from one of them. And I mean, it's just been such a resurgence in neighborhoods like this. It's just great.
I lost you there for a minute, Pat. Got to be honest.
Oh, that's okay. Sorry about that. Aaron, did you lose me too? Or where's our glitch? You heard me fine. It's a Minnesota thing.
A Minnesota thing. Being out on the prairie, man, it's just not dependable Wi-Fi.
I would have thought, you know, a former, you know, Goldie Gopher mascot like you would have a bit more pull, but apparently not when it comes to technology.
Yeah, there's discrimination because of the lucky thing.
The struggle is real. We'll be back in the next hour after this. You're up north.